Thank you, Lord, for your speaking. Also for your warning and your admonition. Yeah, we want to stay on your work and we want on your path and we want to return if we depart. Lord, bring us back if we depart. We want to return and be faithful to you until the end. The Lord really is worthy of all the honor and praise. In these verses that we read yesterday, it's repeatedly mentioned that he is the Lord of hosts. He introduces himself as a God who is to be feared. And at the beginning, we also read that he is the Father. He is a king. The king whom we should fear. And we have to really have this consciousness to fear the Lord. I think every believer has a desire to be well-pleasing to the Father, to glorify him and not to put his name to shame. And so I think it's really important that the Lord show us today how his name is to be glorified. We read this verse before in Malachi 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And how? In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. We have to really appreciate this. The Lord has shown us how we can glorify his name. That's actually a privilege. Many people have a strange concept of how you could honor or glorify the Lord. But it's precious when the Lord shows us in his word how his name can be glorified. Because it's his heart desires. We also see this in the Lord's prayer when he says, when he's asked, how should we pray? The first sentence, it's pray to hallow the name of the Father, that his name would not be dishonored, but that it would be glorified even across the whole, in the whole world. And the Lord showed us that it's the offerings that glorify him, that honor him. In Psalm 50, verse 23, it says, he who offers thanks, I will honor. He who offers praise glorifies me. Sorry, Psalm 50, 23. And he has given a sign for all people. What a great and mighty God he is. When people see that God's people obey the priestly service and perform it, then the nations will recognize that this is God's people who are blessed by him, who have righteous ordinances, and that God is near to them. And we have this privilege today as well. The Lord showed it to us, and we should be faithful to it because we know the Lord desires for his name to be glorified. And this also encourages me to continue bringing offerings to the Father and to take more time to prepare them and to bring them in such a way that it would be a well-pleasing aroma to him. And we also see that to fear God also means to care for others. We also read the verse already today or yesterday. I think it was today. In Malachi 3, verse 5, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. So here it says, they do not fear me. And what do those do who do not fear him? They exploit wage earners and widows and orphans. And they turn away an alien, and the Lord hates that. If you read the law in Moses, you see this group, the alien, the widows, and the orphans. This group of people the Lord mentions again and again, and he says, you have to care for them. This is on my heart. that you would care for this group of people, that you would not exploit the wage earners, not withhold their wages, that if they worked, they should get what they earned, that you should care for those who are weak among you or for who are poor among you. And also when it comes to the tithe, a portion of the tithes that are brought, it was for the widows and orphans. That's in Numbers 18. In Numbers 18:6, it says that the tithe is a gift. But every third year in Deuteronomy, it says that a portion shall be given to the fatherless, the stranger, and the widow. Deuteronomy 26:12. When you finish laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. And also given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. This is something the Lord has also put on my heart recently. He wants to care for people, especially those people who may be on the margins, who may not be doing well externally or inwardly. The Lord especially has these people on their heart. He even says, see, if the widow doesn't get money from you or get food, then the Lord sees that. And it will be your guilt. You will be guilty of it. But if you care for her and you give her what she needs, then it says she will even pray and praise him and also intercede for you, and it will be a blessing to you. And so that is part of this tenth. On the one hand, the tenth, the tithe, is what is brought for the Lord and what the Levites brought. It's even said that it was the best of the best. It was the very best. Because they got the tenth, the tithe, from the people, and of all that they got from the people, they once again took the best of that, the tithe, and they brought it to the Lord. So that was the very best. And we also bring the very best to God our Father. And at the same time, the Lord says the tithes are also, for example, for the Levites, or for strangers, or for orphans and widows. There's someone who is living with us who is from Turkey, but the Lord also, at first I didn't really like it, but the Lord showed me he's a stranger, he's an alien, don't have a hard heart toward him. And when you meet someone on the street and the Lord touches you, then don't shut your heart, but give richly, open your hand. And that's important to the Lord. It's part of the fear of the Lord. And he desires this, and then he can speak more. The Lord gives us things for us to be stewards over, to administer. The material things may be the least of all for him, but he also gives us spiritual gifts, our time, our attention in our life. We receive all of that from the Lord, and he wants to see, how do we deal with it? Are we redeeming the time for him? Are we giving him the best of our time? Are we investing our time for him? And are we serving others with what the Lord has given us? And if the Lord sees that we are faithful servants in the things that he has entrusted us with, then in his great faithfulness, he will bless us more. He will give us more. It's actually a cycle of blessing, because God's blessing comes to us. We receive it. And then it's not so that we just use it or keep it for ourselves, but we give it to someone else. And we give it to God and to the people that the Lord puts on our heart. And then the Lord will open the window of heaven and bring more blessing. And this is a cycle that really brings us into the full blessing of the Lord. And he desires to really bless us. It's really his heart's desire that we would receive his blessing. But for this, we have to be faithful and deal properly with what he's given us. And then the Lord will fulfill his word that he will open the windows of heaven. And on the other hand, there's also a really strong warning, because this blessing that we've received from the Lord, if we don't handle it with faithful hands, if we are disobedient and use these things for ourselves, then the Lord will curse this. Then all of a sudden the blessing becomes a curse. The job that he gave us becomes a mill, or maybe the car he gave us has, you know, just one problem after another. For a while I was praying to the Lord that the car that I used to have, that it would be for the Lord. I consecrated it to them and I would use it to serve the saints and use it for his service. And this car, it was in good shape for longer than any other car I ever had. And then in the end, I didn't even take care of the car anymore. And then in the end, it, you know, broke down because of my own fault. And that was also a lesson to me. But it really is this way. If we put the Lord and his business in the first place, then there are many things that we could otherwise occupy ourselves with for hours, whether it's our job or the car's broken down or things on the computer. The Lord will, he will deal with those things, because he knows that we don't have to deal with those things, but he will help us use our time for him. But this curse will really come if we just start to enjoy it for ourselves and not give our time to the Lord, and not to seek his kingdom first, as it says in Matthew 6, then he will curse. Malachi 3:11, then he will, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. There is a devourer, and that I became conscious of this as I was reading Malachi. There is a devourer that God actually can use to destroy the yield that we create. And that even started with Adam and Eve, where he spoke the curse, and that was the curse of the sweat of their brow, that they would have to labor. But actually he cursed the entire earth, and there were even thorns. And if we want to plant something in the garden, and that there are some things that grow faster than the things that you want to have grow, that's the weeds. And that's also the curse that was spoken out across the field. And these weeds, they eat, or they devour everything else. Like one year there was so much rain and we didn't have a covering over our tomatoes, and the whole harvest was ruined. That's the devourer. The earth is not in the condition that it was in paradise, but it's in a condition where it's possible for the fruit to be ruined, to rot. And that's also what will happen to us for the things in our life. If we are not faithful to the Lord, if we enjoy the goods for ourselves, then what will happen is that we will invest all our time into the things we want to have for ourselves and to try to get more of those things. But the Lord will not permit this, because then he will send the devourer. Then we will have problems. And as it says, they worked very much in Haggai, but you brought home little. That's actually a contradiction. You work more, but you receive less. According to the worldly logic, that makes no sense. But to the Lord, it makes sense, because you're not working for the Lord. You're working for yourself. And then the Lord has to let the devourer come, so that we would pay attention and return to him and say, hey, what am I doing? This is not well pleasing to the Lord. And this is also the principle of Esau. He is the one who, for the sake of his soul life, for the thing that he wanted immediately, in Malachi 1, the Lord also curses Esau. He said in verse 3 that he hated Esau and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. So our soul is damned to be a wilderness. And I notice that if something in my soul is not going the way I want it to, then my focus isn't to ask, oh, why did that happen? But I'll say, I'll try even harder and I'll do it better and try to get something better. If my cell phone fell down and broke, I'll take it as an opportunity to buy an even better cell phone. Or if the harvest didn't go the way I wanted, if it wasn't good, then next year I'll sow twice as much. That's the principle of Esau. But the Lord says here, even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. That's the devourer again, whom the Lord will send. They shall be called the territory of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. So Esau did not learn this in his life. He always continued in his way. But we have to take it seriously. If the Lord destroys something with us or sends the devourer, don't say, okay, I'll just try even harder so that I can succeed. But take a moment, ask the Lord, why did this happen? Have I been unfaithful to you in something? Why is this happening? Because the Lord wants us to return to Him. If the Lord doesn't send the devourer, we'll continue to go on our own way. Nothing changes, and we only care about our own things and not about the Lord's business. That's why it's also a grace, a mercy from the Lord that He sends the devourer to destroy certain things, because He wants us to return to Him. And we have to take this seriously so that we don't enter into the cycle of Edom and get even more and more into the snare and be fully captive to this sweat of our brow. And in the end, I'll read on in two further verses. What is the attitude of my heart if we enjoy these things for ourselves? If you're very satisfied, you quickly reach the attitude, oh, I deserve this. I worked for it. I'm entitled to it, so I don't have to thank the Lord. Malachi 3:13-15. Let's read this together. Malachi 3:13-15. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. This is a really terrible condition. People who would say such things, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we've walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? For one, they forgot what the Lord has done for them. And they say if they say it's useless to serve God, that means they've forgotten that the Lord called them out of slavery. At that time, they cried out to the Lord. It was really terrible what a situation God's people were in, just as we were in the world when we were fallen in sin and we were in our flesh. It was a terrible condition in which no one wants to remain. And he called them out of this. He brought them out of this situation. He brought us out of this situation. And we should have such gratitude and thankfulness that we would remain faithful to Him until the end of our life, because He brought us and saved us out of this captivity, but they forgot this point and they now say it's useless to serve God. Well, it's not useless. God has already given us everything. He paid our debt, but they don't take it seriously. And today, what I sometimes forget about is God's goal. He has such a great goal. He wants to bring us into his kingdom and he wants us to reign with him. And it's not for nothing. It's not useless to serve him. He gives us so much more than what we invest today. And we can't lose sight of this. And this is such a help for us if our soul wants to come with these thoughts. I know these thoughts. Oh, why should I continue in this way? Is there really a point to this? And the Lord says, no, it's not useless. On the one hand, he's already given us everything. And on the other hand, he wants to bless us and give us even more. And even now in our life, it is not useless to serve the Lord. They also say here that they call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. This is very similar to how the psalmist speaks in Psalm 73. He also speaks about the godless there. In verse 4, he says, I'll just read a few verses, for there are no pangs in their death. That's referring to the wicked, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. And they also speak, they scoff and speak wickedly, these proud ones. And then in verse 13, he goes on to say, surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. This is very similar to the question that says it is useless to serve God. It says here, I have cleansed my heart in vain. This is a very similar thought that can come. And this thought also came in God's people to Asaph. He also had this thought that he cleansed himself in vain. And we also will have difficulties in our life. And to come to the Lord in the morning sometimes is really a battle. And so he says, what am I doing this for? Look at the wicked. They're doing well. And we might know many people who don't know the Lord, but who have a good life. And you don't see the devourer taking things from them. But it says also in Matthew that the Lord lets the sun rise over good and bad, and he sends his rain on the whole earth, on the good and the bad. And it's up to the Lord whom he blesses and whom he doesn't bless, and that should not become a point of offense for us to say, well, these people are not caring for God's things, and so they're doing well, so why should I bother? In verse 17, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Because if someone's doing really well, they will not return to the Lord. If someone is really content and has a great life and is not experiencing lots of difficulties, that is actually the worst curse of all. Because there's no reason for them to turn to God and return to God. And in the end, God will still hold them accountable for everything that they enjoyed and said, what did you do with it? What did you make of it? Did you seek me? Or with the example of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man, maybe he didn't have a lot of difficulties in his life. He was rich. But what he experienced afterwards, then he really regretted how he lived his life. That's why let's not tell the Lord or give up on the Lord because of troubles in our life or difficulties, but it's because he wants to bring us to the right path and he wants to give us the reward in the end. Thought I had one more point, but I think it's It's enough. Lord, we want to make the right decision today. Show us even more what to experience, to bring the food into your house. Lord, preserve us all from robbing you. Lord, show even more that we are stewards. Lord, we want to give you gladly because you are our God. Lord, we don't want to remain the same. Lord, we want to really have your heart and have your eyes. You desire that we would have the blessing today. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for bringing us on the right way. Thank you for everything we've already experienced that you have prepared for us, and that we may always be in your presence. I pray, Lord, that there would be much food in your house. Lord, we want to try you in this. Amen, Lord. Make your house glorious. Yeah, Lord, engrave this even more in our heart that we would not just see it, but walk in it. Thank you for your living word that renews our heart and that can change it. Lord, give us this experience of the abundance, overflow of life in your house. Amen. I want to bring the tithes into your house. Amen. Many tithes really create a true abundance. Let us be bold to bring our tithes, our tenth. Today, it's our habit to leave it to one or two to bring their tithes. But that cannot amount to much, because how much could the tenth for one or two people be? But if everybody brings, then there's so much. And that's an encouragement. Bring all the tithes. That's where the abundance comes from. The abundance results from the small portion that everyone brings. And you bring that together, and that's the abundance. Praise the Lord. The body of Christ is the fullness of him who fills all and in all. If every single one of us brings his own small portion, there will be the abundance and the fullness in the house of the Lord. So let's be encouraged to exercise and perform the priestly service so that this abundance would be in the house of the Lord. It was impressed me that if I give to my father, then I will receive the blessing from him. The important part is not to receive something for myself, but that I receive things that I can give them to others, not to be so covetous. And then you receive an open heart, a larger heart, not to feel that all these things are, they're mine, and oh, now I have to give what's mine, but hey, it's from God, and that's what I'm giving. Everything comes from God, and so then we really have the joy of giving. Yeah, Lord, I pray that everyone would bring their portion. For example, when we come together at the Lord's table, if there are 20 or 30 brothers and sisters there, we have to prepare. And each one has a portion. Then even 2 hours will be too little. Then that will really be fullness. The time will not be enough. And this is an encouragement not to think. Oh, should I say something? Should I not say something? Should I bring what I have? Well, it's just so small. It's the sum of the parts that matters. So let's be encouraged to take the Lord's table as such an opportunity that the abundance, the fullness in the house of the Lord would really be a reality. Then we all have such a way to be faithful to the Lord, and then the Lord will give us even more, surely. And then the Lord will fulfill what he has said. Thank the Lord. Yeah, don't bury the one talent that you've received. That's our tendency. You think, oh, I don't have so much, so I won't bring it. But the one verse where the Lord spoke to you, the one verse that's precious to him, and it brings greater abundance and riches to the Lord's table. So let us not despise the small offerings. Let's bring them for the glory of the Lord.